Counterspin Media's Truthathon Part 3. Maria Z of Z Media outlines neuro-digital convergence, transhumanism, and the emergence of the United Nations AI World Society.
The New World Order symbolizes the latest manifestation of darkness, epitomized by the Great Reset. However, humanity's great awakening signals our united stand against this malevolence. And now, Counterspin Media is unveiling the Great Awakening and resisting the Great Reset in this 12-hour truthathon titled Conquering Darkness, heralding humanity's triumph over the New World Order.
Our next guest is waiting in the wings. That is Maria Z.
From a favourite of ours.
Yeah, from Z Media. And before we bring her on, we are going to play a little video from InfoWars that highlights what the New Zealand Reserve Bank recently said. And then we're going to follow that with a video on microchips and what's happening with the CBDCs. And that's going to set things up for Maria, because she's going to give us a bit of a rundown on the United Nations and what is actually happening with their agendas and where we're heading. So we'll
Looking
be back shortly.
This.
Counterspin. Operation Zulu.
And it's so frustrating, again, because all of it is predicated on the central banks creating money out of nothing. So I want to go to this clip, clip number 7. This is the head of the New Zealand Central Bank laughing at the sheer absurdity of their own industry. Pay attention to this one. Let's watch.
You know, the fiscal challenges, et cetera, that are there. So very focused on being cost effective. We actually fund ourselves and then work out what dividend is needed to pay. So we kind of, it's a great business to be in, central banking. You print money and people believe it. And, touch wood. It's a slightly different beast.
It's a great business to be in, central banking. We print money out of nothing and people believe it. Have you ever heard it expressed more callously? It's a great business to be in, central banking. We just fabricate money from nothing and people believe it. That was a New Zealand central banker sort of giving the game away. I want to go to that clip again, just in case you don't believe your ears. Let's hear it again. Clip number 7 again. New Zealand central banker really giving the game away. Let's watch.
You know, the fiscal challenges, et cetera, that are there. So very focused on being cost effective. We actually fund ourselves and then work out what dividend is needed to pay. So we kind of it's a great business to be in, central banking. Print money and people believe it. And touch wood.
People work day and night just to pay for basic necessities. People can't afford homes. Isn't it so funny that they believe that the money that we make up by pressing keys on a keyboard, isn't that hilarious?
Counterspinmedia.com. Where lies come to die.
The idea had been by central banks to introduce this, as we said, central bank digital currency. But have you ever seen an article or a video or, you know, whatever description of what it actually looks like? I mean, with central bank paper money, we know what it looks like, right?
Yeah.
Bank digital currency, we know, and you know, we've used it ourselves, we know what it looks like. But what does central bank digital currency look like? You see? So they never talk about that because people won't actually like the looks of it.
Yeah.
Because it apparently looks, and several central banks apparently, as I heard from my sources, have already fully developed the final stage of CBDC. I mean, it comes in stages, initially likely through your mobile phone,
yeah.
But that's only an intermediate step.
Mm.
And the final stage is, you know, it's small, and it's the size of a grain of rice. Now, why is that?
And that grain of rice is your entire wallet, or?
Yes, it's your digital ID,
yeah.
Your wallet, can be your passport, your key. Now, of course, what we found with our debit cards or credit cards is they've already now moved to the system, you know, RFID chips, RFID technology where you just wave the thing, contactless.
Yes,
that is sort of the you know conditioning us in this direction. That in the future you'll just wave your hand because you've got the microchip, the microchip implant under your skin, and because you know, and each step there's a rational reason. You know, it's easier just to wave this, isn't it? It's much faster because we always have to wait in the queues as everyone types in their numbers and all that. So just wave it, it's quicker. But the next rationalization will be, well, but you can lose your card, somebody can steal your card, and then you're just waving, that's kind of risky. Well, wouldn't it be nice if you couldn't lose it and nobody could steal it? You know, so, but it's clear that that's sort of, it is almost a step too far for a lot of people because it is a violation of human dignity to actually inject something like that under the skin. So. That's where you need some more persuasion.
Yeah.
And it's interesting that this concept of universal basic income has been around for around a century, where everyone should get some kind of citizens, you know, payment. But the billionaire elites have so far not liked that. But since 2015, they've all come out. I mean, all the big billionaires and World Economic Forum have come out, oh, this is a good idea, universal basic income. Well, why suddenly now? Because now we have the technology for the microchip implant. And so when in 2017, Bill Gates came out and said that universal basic income is a good idea, but it's too early to introduce it. Now, what was still missing? So we had the technology for the microchip implant, but what was missing was the digital ID hadn't been introduced. Now, this is where this whole COVID agenda had become very useful.
All right. Well, there you go. That's a great setup for our next guest, Maria Zee, a journalist from Australia. She actually loves controversy. She's totally comfortable with it. And this is where we all need to get to, being comfortable, being uncomfortable. You know, she, in the midst of the greatest deception to ever sweep over humanity, decided that something needs to be done on a larger scale. And, you know, she wanted to have these uncomfortable conversations. She's been doing great work. And in 2021, she launched Zee Media. And that's quickly evolved to one of the most trusted, uncensored sources of information in Australia. She's also working with Vigilant Fox and InfoWars as well. She's doing great work. Welcome to the show, Maria. Lovely to have you back.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for doing the Truthathon. Did I say that right? Truthathon. No, this is honestly, guys, this is so important, and it's wonderful to see a show of force of people uniting for the truth from all over the world. It's so appreciated. So thank you. I know it takes an incredible amount of time and effort to hold something like this.
Yeah, you're super busy, and we really appreciate you jumping on, you know, with all the things that you're doing. Now, where do you want to start? You want to talk about the United Nations, give a bit of history, basically just launch into it. We're going to give you the floor and you just take it away.
Look, for the sake of time, I'm going to really speed through to where we are today, and not go through the whole history of the UN. But what if there's one thing that I can ask people to take away from this today, from my time here, is the term AI World Society, or AIWS. Okay, nowhere near enough people are talking about this, and I don't blame them, because it is a very you know, poorly understood agenda. It sounds crazy, and barely anyone really knows about it. But this is the goal of the United Nations, and it really is the reason for everything that we are seeing that is wrong with the world today. So I'm going to talk to everyone about how this links in with Agenda 2030, which everyone is familiar with. But the fact of the matter is that they are much further along than what a lot of people understand. So they've written this book, which is called UN 100, Remaking the World Towards an Age of Global Enlightenment. This is a Luciferian term. Their religion is a Luciferian one, whether you believe this or not, they do. And so the Boston Global Forum is responsible for the publishing of this book, along with Ursula von der Leyen, who is a contributor, Vinton Cerf, who they call the evangelist of the internet. And if you go to UN BN100.net, you will find their website, and you can just look at Boston Global Forum as well. Now, a lot of people don't know about this organization. Their logo, like the World Economic Forum, is 666. And it's head up by Michael Dukakis, a former governor from the United States. As I said, Ursula von der Leyen has contributed to this book, and you can see the insane tyranny in the EU right now as far as free speech, digital ID, governance of AI. They say, oh, we need to introduce governance of AI to protect people. But what it actually is limiting people's use of AI and giving government full use of it. And I will get into that a little bit as we go along. Vinton Cerf, who is another contributor, you can look at the UN's website and look at a posting called An Unexpected Message from the Future, UN 75, An Unexpected Message from the Future. And you can actually see this Vinton Cerf, evangelist of the internet guy, which literally means evangelizing for the internet. And the internet as we know it is not what the UN defines it as. They define it as a mixed reality where we can no longer, where we become part of the internet and we can no longer tell the difference between real life and the internet, okay? But Vinton Cerf says that he was mucking around with some frequencies and that he received a message from an unknown entity from the year 2045 that told him, basically, in a nutshell, humanity's going to make it. You just have to go really hard with Agenda 2030. And so the UN and everything that they're doing and the policies that they are driving everywhere, people will say, oh, well, the UN doesn't have any power. Yes, they do have power. The whole, farce that they can't get aid into Gaza right now is nonsense. If the UN wanted to get in, they would be getting in. So don't buy that for a second. They are the drivers behind global policy. And I'll give you a couple of examples of how they are the drivers of that as we go along. But what they've said is that every single person has been entered into a new social contract where they are now considered and defined as objects by the United Nations. You, me, and everyone in the world has been defined as an object, no longer human. Objects. The way they did this was by holding what they call public consultations. Those public consultations involved some Zooms that were then posted to YouTube, had about 86 views. Some of them were pulled down after I exposed this and did my series on this book and the Boston Global Forum and the UN. And in these public consultations, they invited a couple of researchers from MIT who they had a discussion with around AI governance in the judicial system and basically replacing the judicial system with AI. And the MIT researchers said, that's a red line for me. We cannot replace humans when it comes to the judicial system. We need that human aspect, the compassion, the, you know, different considerations that human beings have. And so basically the Boston Global Forum guy was pushing back. And in the end, he said, okay, well, we'll just move on. So they consider now that they have your consent, my consent, everyone in the world's consent to proceed with making AI the judicial system, removing the judicial system as we know it and putting it in the hands of AI because they held public consultations. That's as far as their public consultation goes. Right.
They do that in so many different areas, don't they? They're doing absolutely. It with the whole COVID thing as well. Oh, we're going to consult you all and see how it went and what can we do better next time. But they don't give a shit what the people say because, like you say, this AI agenda is coming down the pipeline and this is the biggest threat to humanity right now.
So just today, a couple of hours ago, Microsoft and OpenAI announced a $100 billion data center project, which is expected to be completed before or by 2028. They're calling it Stargate, and it's an artificial intelligence supercomputer, which is set to launch in 2028. But, you know, even as far as when we saw, for example, they said Agenda 2030 is too far away, we're going to move it forward to Agenda 2025 now. You know, they always move these things forward because they have to rapidly work to bring these things into action, especially where AI is concerned, because far too many people are realizing something's very, very wrong. And so that is why you are seeing this huge acceleration, because inside the AI world society, which is what they coin the world now, they call it the AI world society. It's no longer the world as we know it. The UN doesn't think of the world like that anymore. They call it the AI world society. And inside that AI world society, there is no there are the laws as we know them change. The world as we know it changes. So they say that this social contract is the basis to achieve sustainable and inclusive development, meaning they cannot achieve the objectives of Agenda 2030 without it. And inside that world, they have to make sure that there's no dissent and no freedom of speech, because AI is God, if you will. So this is why we see this huge acceleration. You would both know about what happened in Australia this week. Digital ID rammed through the Senate. No debate, you know, despite the public pushback. And, you know, you just look at someone like Senator Katie Gallagher, for example, who posted about how great this was. And I would say 99.9% of her comments were against it. So this is not a true representation of the constituents. These people are not really representing the Australian people. And that's clear. That is the same in every country. It's the same in New Zealand, the United States, everywhere. But
I like that video just before you came on. We need to be clear that these digital IDs are going to be linked to a microchip that is going to be your digital wallet for these CBDCs and the central banking digital currencies, because they're getting rid of cash. I mean, how far away do you think we are of this actually happening?
But later in the show, we'll tell you exactly who's behind it, at the company, New Zealand company, that's distributing this product for what they call MeshNet across the country, that's going to pick up everything and control all the information through your streetlights. Stay tuned for that.
Yeah, I'll be tuning in to watch that for sure. If I'm recording at the time, I'll go back and watch it, because that's very interesting. But the problem I think that a lot of people have is they perceive the microchip as something that they'll have to implant, and at that point, that'll be the hard line for them. And while I think that's still a possibility, I actually think they've already figured out a way to self-assemble nanotechnology inside the body to form these microchips that they need. So I don't know. Obviously, as far as the mark of the beast goes, there has to be a clear decision to get some sort of a mark. You know, for even if you think from the point of the Luciferians, there has to be a free will decision there. But does it have to be a microchip, or is it going to come in the way of deception through more injections? That's the part that I think people need to be extremely aware of, because the self-assembling nanotechnology that they have, the advancements are unbelievable at this stage. You know, we've got people that are testing their urine, and you can see literally digital, what appears like digital cells coming out of their bodies. I mean, this stuff is getting weird. Okay, but
yeah, and you've got people saying that, you know, that it will be obviously coming through these injections, and that they're getting picked up on Bluetooth on the mobile networks already.
Yes, MAC addresses, correct. Correct. And people might think that's weird and sci-fi and so on and so forth, but just look at Bill Gates' patent 060606 and look at the fact that it says mining cryptocurrency using your body's data, mining cryptocurrency with your body's data. That's exactly what the UN describes inside the AI World Society documents. So what happens is they link your digital ID with your body data, sensors that are inside your body through the self-assembling nanotech that's in the food, the water, the air, everything, and injections. And then you earn money based on your behavior. And that is actually explicitly stated in this book from the United Nations. The only way to earn, there is no real money inside the AI World Society. The only way to earn is if you positively contribute to the AI World Society, to expanding their world, which is, you know, that children should cut off their genitals, and, you know, we should perpetually inject ourselves and eat bugs. If you do anything outside of that, you cannot earn money, and your body will betray you. Your body's data will betray you, and they will know not to give you your digital currency allocation that week, or perhaps ever, because of your own body or your thoughts. So,
and who was the model? Who was the test case for that? China. So they absolutely want the whole world to basically be like China, that Big Brother's watching.
And just on China, remember George Soros's plan was to bring China as the head of the new empire of the world once they took out the US, because they're in the middle at the moment of having the US completely destroy itself with the illegal aliens, open borders. They'll arm them soon. They'll start fighting. Everything will go to crap, because I think it was the east of the Rockies was to be one nation, and then the other nation was to be a completely different one dominated by China.
Well, but again, UN replacement migration. It is being facilitated through an agenda that the UN has published. And so, yes, I agree with you. China said by 2045, they want to be the world superpower. And we know that they work in conjunction with the WEF. They're, half of these people are in bed with one another. But by the same token, again, the policy, the UN's giving the cards, $10,000 to these illegals. The UN is setting up their non-for-profits, the Hebrew Immigration, you know, Society that's linked to the UN. The UN is at the root of so much of this. And so I guess I'll talk about that a little bit more later, but I just want to really articulate this plan for everyone, because you can't defeat this unless you understand it. You know, you can't defeat children being mutilated unless you can have a discussion about the reasons why it's wrong, as if we even need to. But that's the world that we live in, right? So they're looking to implement an AI international accord. So people may understand this to be responsible use of AI globally, but that's really not what the UN means. Whenever they're talking about AI, they're talking about the people or the objects inside the AI world society. So the international accord would be all of us inside their AI world, where the humans are merged with machine. So the international, when people hear international accords, they think, oh, this is all these governments, you know, like, for example, with the international health regulations, all these governments are agreeing to follow the WHO. No, the AI International Accord means you and me as well. We're automatically included in this because we are their objects as far as they're concerned. And so, for example, Gemini's bias becomes integrated into human speech, human behavior, online activity. You know, all of us, as part of this AI International Accord, need to say that, you know, if you guys saw that saga recently where Gemini was asked to spit out pictures of an Australian woman, a US woman, and it just gave all black people. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with black people. And yeah, sure, they represent some of us, but we have some whites in our countries too, you know? this is how they expect all of humanity to behave inside this international accord. You're now part of it.
You're the hive mind.
No, correct.
One to be
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So as I was saying, there's no real money inside the AI world society, only digital currency that you can earn by contributing positively to expanding. They actually say expanding the AI world society. So it's like they can't make an earth, so they're making a digital earth, and you contribute to expanding that earth by, let's say, building 10 trans centers in the metaverse, because they actually talk about how humans will now live out their lives in the metaverse or the AI world society, not actually real life, which of course will be the case that people will start flocking to the metaverse because they're stuck in pods eating crickets. I mean, you know, you will go there to escape if you don't understand the agenda. But not only does it mean that your bank account may be suspended or blocked forever for saying or doing something they don't like, but it also means that you won't be able to earn money at all unless you're contributing in what they call a positive manner. So, you know,
we're toasting.
well, most of us are. And I want to be really upfront about the fact that they've already got digital twins of us. They have already created profiles, if you will, of all of the things that we've said that they don't like online. To think that AI hasn't already created, you know, dossiers on us would be very naive. And so the minute that they transition to officially, you know, revealing that they've already created this AI world society and have dossiers on the dissidents who are expelled, you know, the minute that they admit that, everyone that's ever said anything on social media that they don't like could be in trouble. In fact, in the US, if you recall, they were trying to bring a bill in some time ago that was saying that they could go back 20 years, prosecute someone for something they said up to 20 years ago, even. And so they really are trying to move forward with this worldwide as the goal of the UN. So what does it really look like? Well, biodigital convergence and a mixed reality. You know, I gave this example to someone recently, and so I want to sort of articulate how weird the vision is. So where Mark Zuckerberg says, you know, or you hear these self-proclaimed elites saying, oh, you won't be able to travel, that's only for the elites, and so you'll be able to visit your loved ones through a hologram in your living room, right? We've heard them say these things. And so contributing positively to the AI world society, well, actually, let me take a step back. Policy Horizons, Canada Biodigital Convergence Document. This is an official government publication. They talk about how you will be able to, like, hug your family member, for example, your mum in your lounge room. You'll be able to hug her hologram. And they've figured out a way to make our bodies feel as though we're actually giving that hug. And so we feel on our skin. We even get the oxytocin release because they've figured out a way to integrate the internet with our real experience, right?
Wow.
So contributing positively to the AI world society might look like enhancing the ways in which a human feels that hug from their mom in their lounge room. I'm not kidding. This is, like, literally what they are talking about in this
book. Have they managed to do smell yet? Because that was the one thing.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Smell, not yet. But
some of the lifty losers walking around, you certainly wouldn't want to experience their smell, digital or otherwise.
No. Just
saying. So look, as sci-fi as it sounds, we really have to understand that the UN does not consider us real anymore. So through their biodigital convergence goals, they plan to no longer define us as real humans. That's why they continuously talk about redefining human rights. Yuval Noah Harari says human rights are fiction. They don't exist. And the rights are being redefined by the UN. They're the ones that are demanding changes in national policy. So as one example, on page 38 of that book, Remaking the World Towards an Age of Global Enlightenment, they say governments are required to provide education for all citizens, real, which they have in quotation marks, or online. So real humans are considered, like, not real anymore. You understand what I'm saying?
Crazy.
So yeah, real is up for debate. In fact, already not considered by them in the laws that they are demanding that governments implement. They say that we need to consolidate a world alliance for digital governance as the global authority to enforce the emergent accord. So the World Alliance for Digital Governance will be the global authority to enforce the AI world society that they're just doing, whether we like it or not. They're calling for global governance on this. And
we've been saying that, sorry to interrupt, we've been saying that from the beginning.
Yeah.
We said this crap's coming down the pipeline, whether you like it or not. You can go out there with your protests, your placards, your ass be thrown after a day of yelling your lungs out. You can put in your petitions all you like. You can write your letters to the editor. None of that means a damn. Because you're just not schooled up on what's exactly happening. And because you think that ringing up talk back or going on a radio station, venting your spleen and hanging up is somehow going to make it all better. And then what most people do, because that's what talk back was all about. It's a release of your anger. You get up there, you vent your spleen, hang up, say, yeah,
well,
I sure told them.
Well, it becomes a distraction, doesn't it, with all these other issues.
But well, we used
AI
to go to the halls.
It's never even talked about.
Yeah, well, we used to go to the halls, get together, be angry about something, go and get our local representative, shake the shit out of them and say, either you do what you tell us, we tell you, or we hang you on the nearest lamppost. Mm-hmm. Now, they're just completely separate from us. It's elect me, I'll do what I like, but 5 minutes before the next election, I'll tell you how much you need me.
Yeah, that's well, and they're all being influenced by the UN, and this is the
bought and paid for political parasite whores, is what I call them.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry, Maria, and this is so important. The AI is basically just transcending everything, and
transhumanism.
Every single part of
and like Maria
society.
Said, the AI god.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
It's the Matrix movie. If you want the real life documentary, exactly what Maria's talking about, watch the Matrix. That's telling you exactly what's coming. Little pods hooked in. You think you're alive, living your life, but you're not.
And so people will say, oh, well, I just won't participate. And again, I go back to my statement before of I am actually very concerned because they say already that we have a digital twin. And that really literally is a digital identity that's already been formed of us that includes everything we've ever done and said online. So So you've already been opted in, whether you like it or not. And I'm concerned about what they're going to do once they have all these laws in place. What do they do to the dangerous AI world citizen? You understand what I'm saying? If we don't stop this particular aspect of the agenda, then we are all targets. So I'm just being really honest about that.
Crimes, right? Because they just looked at like something you've said, something history, like you say something you've said 20 years ago, and then they wanted to incarcerate you for something you thought about.
Think about all the movies you've watched. Hollywood's been telling you what they're going to be doing as you're going, like Skyfall, like Terminator. Remember, uploading Skynet. It's exactly what's happening. This is coming. They've been telling you what they're going to do, and that's the way they get out of it. Because it's like they've got to tell us what they're doing, and if we don't react, it's tacit consent, and they can then carry on to the next
step. Okay, I've got a question for you, though, Maria, here, yes? Just to digress a little bit. What about Elon Musk? Because he's obviously a big player in all of this, and he seems to have opened up, you know, X for free speech and everything, but what do you think, and all the technology that he's working on, and, you know, he's a big player in all of this.
Is he the soft sell to the hard sell?
I think so. I think that could be the case. And I wouldn't agree that X is free speech, because freedom of speech but not freedom of reach is actually called censorship. It's just a nicer way of saying censorship. Do we have more speech on X than we do on, say, Meta? Yes. Is X potentially there to help gauge, you know, is it collecting data right now to help gauge exactly how many dissidents we have, what they're thinking, how we can manipulate their thoughts? I've said this openly. I don't get addicted to social media because I actually despise it. I don't like the internet and social media. I don't actually enjoy it. It's part of my life and I use it because it's a tool. Right now we're in a digital war, and so I'm using it, and, you know, we have to do what we have to do right now. But if I had my way, I'd be, you know, living in a barn in the middle of nowhere with three chickens and no internet whatsoever, you know. But what I found as soon as I got back on X late last year was I became hopelessly addicted to this app within, you know, the first 3 weeks of using it. In fact, even I have periods where I'll leave my phone aside or whatever, and I was thinking, gosh, I wonder what's happening on X. That is not like me. I'm not like that. And so I felt this app is something different to any social media I've seen before. There's something else going on with this app, just for me personally, because I don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy social media. You know what I mean? So I do think that it's perhaps a way to corral people into one place. I don't know this for sure. But, you know, like a honeypot situation. I know that Elon has said he wants to make it the everything app, just like WeChat in China, which was used to, you know, has been weaponized against the people, locks them out of the economy if they say something the government doesn't like, and, you know, all of this kind of stuff. And Elon's desire for, you know, putting brain chips in humans and everything, it's all very concerning to me. But at the same time, you do have instances where people are, you know, powerful people with a lot of money that say, you know what, screw this. This is all really messed up. I want to help in some way. Do I really buy that completely about Elon? I don't know. I don't know the guy. I don't want to make accusations against him when I don't know him. I'm grateful for the fact that I can at least get some of my content out on X, because, you know, Instagram's dead in the water. That's where my biggest following was. No point anymore, because you get like 40 people out of 120 seeing your story, 120,000 seeing your story. Like, it's just no point. I'm so throttled on there. So I'm glad, but at the same time, I don't know. It very much looks like it's potentially, you know, playing into this AI world society. And the other thing that I find extremely, incredibly, incredibly alarming is that the ID that X collects on people is so when you, for example, in my instance, there's a scammer, there's an impersonator, literally scamming people, financial scams. I report it to X. They say, oh, we need you to email us from your website domain so that we can verify you. I said, okay, no problem. Email from my, oh, now we need your government issued ID. And I said, well, I won't be giving you that. I go into it, I look into it, and it's Authentix that is collecting government issued ID for people on X. And that is run by a former Israeli A200 member. And so anyone who knows that, this intelligence unit of Israel is, you know, largely responsible for creating bot farm accounts, you know, silencing dissent. I find it very alarming that that type of person is collecting information about people, and why X would choose that type of person to be collecting people's ID. So I think I've answered the question. I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't want to make accusations. I despise people that make unfounded accusations. But I think these are all things that we should be considering.
I can tell you one thing, though. The intelligence agents are well and truly entrenched in your every day of existence. There is no even private messaging app that you can get on the Play Store that does not have a backdoor to the intelligence agency. They just cannot create these without backdoors. It's just like the Anon app that was put out. Someone in the gang scene in New Zealand came to me and said, bro, we can do this, you know, we can chat, we can do deals and all that sort of stuff. That's not my bag, but I said, yeah, good on you. So I said, trust me, you're going to get crucified. I said, who gave it to you? I said, track back who gave it to you and who first suggested it. Then we found out later on that was actually intelligence agent's app. So if they just then clean swept them all, and this is what happens. That's why if we're going to say something, I'll say it on the mic here in public to everyone, and then come what may, come and get us, you pricks, you know. See how it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you, and I don't have a fear of it. I'm not doing anything wrong, you know. I always say this, you know. I know that the agencies watch us, the three letter agencies, and I just say, are you people serious? Like, you have better things to do. There is a pedophile ring in the UK that took them years to take down because they were operating on the deep web, and they said it was because it was under the shadow of anonymity. Okay, so if everyone just verifies themselves online, it'll somehow make it easier for you to catch online predators. Meanwhile, a pregnant mom posts on her Facebook account that she doesn't really like lockdowns, and you're at her house arresting her the next minute. But it takes you years to identify a pedophile ring. Give me a break. Either you're completely incompetent, or you just want everyone to identify themselves online and pretend it's so that you can easily catch predators. It doesn't take years to take down a pedophile ring.
There's a third one, sake. Maria. Those people are actually running cover for the pedophiles. The intelligence agencies, I can tell you right now, the intelligence agencies are one of the biggest gun runners, drug runners, and child traffickers around. And I will say that without any fear of contradiction. I've been in that world. I've heard people talk about it. I have seen the cover-ups of the investigations that have gone on, where someone's getting close to some elitist, like you say, like called deletists, and then all of a sudden they are reassigned, and the investigation goes nowhere, especially if it goes into certain areas of the hierarchy that they don't want it to go, because it'll expose a hell of a lot more. Yeah. This goes on constantly. We've got it here in New Zealand as well. We had one in Dunedin, the child sex trafficking ring run by the cops. Michael Cullen, the
former finance
minister, running cover for the clowns like Helen Clark, who was involved.
She wouldn't investigate it.
That's right. Yeah. And Howard Broad, who became the police commissioner. These people get good points in office when they carry out these crimes. And these people are sick, perverted, twisted mongrels that we are trying to go after constantly, just like this March 15th cover-up. And government involvement. That's why we're facing charges in 14 years, because we refuse to let that go. And we won't let it go. So you're exactly right. This stuff is deep. And like you say, it all leads back to that one centralized little body where the little conglomerates got together with all of their shadow societies, and they're now feeding it. That's the beast. There is your beast.
So they actually want to go and create a silicon world, don't they, Maria? Like, they want to actually, like, we're a carbon-based planet.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, you know, we've got Silicon Valley, and they actually literally want they want to put silicon into everything, and they want everything to be genetically modified.
Started with the boobs.
So then they can actually implement, you know, this. It's like the silicon can host the AI. Can you explain any more about that?
Yes, they call it biodigital convergence. That's the official term for it. And like I referenced before, you can look up Exploring Biodigital Convergence, Policy Horizons Canada, official Canadian government publication, and have a read through that. I've done a three-part series on it. That's how long and convoluted this is. So people can view that on zmedia.com if you go to the interviews page and look up biodigital convergence. In that publication, they talk, they give you fictional scenarios, but really it's their part, it's their dreams. And from what I've read in the scientific literature, as far as, you know, synthetic biology goes, it's all very possible. So they describe a future where you wake up in the morning, AI is integrated with your body, you two are one, merged, and that happens through the sensors inside your body that that they've basically, you know, been able to put there through nanotechnology, through self-assembling nanotechnology, which, you know, is if you just look at hydrogel, it says that hydrogel is programmable matter. So it can be programmed. It can be programmed inside of you. It can change you. This stuff can change. It forms new neural networks. It actually rewires your brain. In fact, rand.org talks about the fact that they will be able to manipulate humans to do things they would not normally do. Just like Yuval says, humans are hackable animals. They speak about these things. But in the Policy Horizons Canada document, it gives you a fictional scenario where you wake up in the morning, an AI that is integrated with you tells you, oh, you're missing this nutrient, and it gives you your optimal health, situation. It's called precision healthcare. Doctors, all of you doctors who towed the line and injected people, you'll be replaced by AI. You'll be nothing. You'll be on a UBI like everyone else. So just so that you know that you funded your own destruction.
Universal base income.
Correct.
Doesn't know that. Where the government will be paying you money to just basically be a useless eater.
Yep. Correct. And so the AI will say, okay, you need to 3D print this type of food for your optimal health today. Your 3D printer will be able to print that. Of course, it will be missing nutrients. Perhaps yeah. Those additional nutrients will be administered through. I don't know if anyone watching has seen the movie Equilibrium, where
I just knew you were going to say that. That is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Equilibrium was great. In fact, just on that, in New Zealand here, we have the representative of the so-called farming community now investing in digital printing of meat and cricket bug milk.
Yeah.
So the people who are meant to be looking after our farmers, who are right in this country at the moment, asleep at the wheel because they're trusting people like Groundswell and all that, who are so far up the national government's arse you can only see their bloody shoes. They don't realise they're on a path to evisceration. So all this is tying in. And we try to tell people that we get slandered, we get the bot farmers come after us.
Yes.
Because I think I've offended Israel probably about 1,000 times. But, you know, the truth is the truth. You can't, and I say, challenge me, prove me wrong. This I always ask, prove me wrong.
But remember they in that movie, do. it's the vitamins, it's the pills that they have to take.
Exactly.
And they get monitored.
Yes, correct. So this is what the WHO plans to achieve through the Global Health Certification Network, which they already announced last year. Through a digital ID linked with your central bank digital currency and the Global Health Certification Network, digital ID, according to the World Economic Forum, is everything. It's health, it's, you know, social media, it's, you know, everything is linked inside this digital ID, which is the AI World Society ID. If you don't comply, well, you have no currency. It's very simple. Once you're hooked in, it is 100% compliance, full drone or else. So
Hotel California, you can check in, but you can never leave.
Yeah. And it reminds me of that movie as well, that Justin Timberlake one. What's it called?
In Time.
In Time.
Yeah, In Time, where they've basically got the time and, you know, you've got the elites and, you know, you can't cross the barrier if you don't have enough basically digital currency, essentially.
Correct. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Now, they make it out as, you know, lifespan, but it is this is a foreshadow of what's to come. So I just want to explain to people how the UN is actually behind so much and how they are driving policy and what I think the only solution here really is. Okay, so
excellent.
Australia is currently in the process of implementing legislation to put LGBT rights ahead of Christianity and other faith-based schools. In fact, right now, there's a situation in New South Wales where they've threatened to close a Christian school because a boy has come to school in a dress they've said, look, this violates our religious rights. We can't have you come into school dressed as a girl. And so the government is saying, well, you have to allow this, otherwise we'll shut your entire school down. And so, you know, you already have, as you would know in Victoria, or maybe you don't, but some people may not know, right now in the state of Victoria, if a parent tries to stop their child from mutilating themselves, they can go to prison. A parent can go to prison for trying to stop their child from undergoing, you know, puberty blockers or
my kids.
Yeah, of course. But that's law. So this mandate comes from the UN. They published a document last year stating that all governments must start to put LGBT rights above Christian rights. And so I said back then in August when I caught wind of it, this is what's going to start to happen. But of course, people don't get into an uproar until it starts to happen and until the Australian government starts to pass laws in accordance with what the UN said now 6 months ago, 7 months ago, right? Or 8 months ago. This is how it works. And so the way that this works is the UN publishes it, buried in a list of literally thousands of documents and revisions, by the way. The amount of digging that you have to do to find these official advice or policy advice documents from the UN is unbearable, right? I'm talking hours to find one document. And it's just thousands of documents, revisions, confusion, fluff, no one reads. You have to go through 40 pages until you find the point. And then shortly after, governments go and change their laws in accordance to what the UN published. And that's exactly what's happening with the WHO amendments to the International Health Regulations or Pandemic Accord. It calls for states to change their laws according to what the WHO wants to do. So while the WHO says, we're not going to interfere with your country's sovereignty, we don't have any powers to demand of your people anything, but what you do have is a set of policies and laws that you say have to be implemented in our countries in order for the country to be able to enforce what you're asking. And so in Western Australia, for example, this passed after lockdowns, after COVID was already done and dusted. This legislation that allows authorised COVID officers, which of course at any time can be amended to just authorised officers of whatever pandemic, to come into your home, strip you naked, possibly in front of your children, remove you from your children, take your children from you, take you all to a facility of their choosing, separate you from one another, medically experiment on you and inject you as much as they want with whatever they want for as long as they want. You have no recourse with no evidence that you're sick at all and no warrant needed to come into your home and do it. This is law that exists already in Australia.
And this is what we've been telling the people in this country when they thought that the New Zealand First, who is now part of the coalition government, was they thought they were going to save their ass. They said, you know, no, he was going to get rid of all that. He's going to have a wide-ranging terms of reference for the COVID inquiry, blah, blah, blah. But they don't get to the harm. They don't get to the excess deaths. They don't get to what's in the crap. And they certainly don't want to go into any of that Pfizer purchasing contract that we've been calling out for.
And that law that Maria is speaking about, I'm pretty sure that was here in New Zealand as well, because they said they could enter your home, without a warrant if they suspect.
Yeah.
They just have to have a suspicion. They don't even have to be able to prove.
So in New Zealand is similar. In that Western Australian legislation, there are also provisions for environmental. And at the time, I didn't understand what I was reading because my brain was so focused on COVID. But in New Zealand, there's a similar thing where they can come in and kill all your animals and demand that you leave the land because it's now contaminated and all this sort of stuff. So that goes back to UN 30 by 30. Everything will always lead you back to the UN. UN 30 by 30 is a mandate.
Right.
For 30% of the land to be conserved. But then when you read deeper, the Council on Foreign Relations says, well, it's actually 80%. And there's a published map from the 90s of all of the areas in the United States where humans will be banned. And so they'll come in and say, well, this, and in Australia, in Australia's pandemic preparedness report, they say that future pandemics will be exacerbated or potentially caused by human encroachment on natural habitats. And so they'll come in and they'll say, well, your property here could potentially cause a pandemic. And under this legislation, we're going to seize that now and you can't live here anymore. And here's a smart city for you to move to, right? This is what it's already happening. A man in Western Australia was recently threatened with jail time for building a bridge over a creek on his own property because he apparently angered the rainbow serpent.
Yeah, so we've got the same thing here in New Zealand, Maria. It's called significant natural areas, where if you are a farmer or you have some property and potentially, you know, 100, 200 years ago, it was some sort of, it had some sort of a significance to the Māori tribes.
Some beast
there
walked down the road, took a dump, and all of a sudden it's bloody
protected. Or the Taniwha, yeah. You know. And so if you're offending the Taniwha, then basically the council will come in and say, that's a significant natural area. You actually need to pay to cordon it off yourself,
yep.
And you can no longer use that piece of land.
Still got to pay for the rates and its upkeep, but you can have no beneficial use.
So for anyone who doesn't know what that's called, it's called UNDRIP, United Nations Declarations of a Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People. Yeah. It's all back to the UN. So New York has a similar legislation as the one in Western Australia that I was talking about before. And it was actually challenged and beaten by attorney Bobby Ann Cox. And then Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, fought tooth and nail with unbelievable amounts of taxpayer dollars to bring that legislation back after COVID was already done. The ability to take people to facilities and lock them up indefinitely with no proof that they're sick and no recourse whatsoever. She fought unbelievably hard, and that's still in the courts now. Bobby Ann's doing her final, I think in the process of her final appeal to defeat this. If this attempt fails, that's it. It's law for life. So these laws are a shadow of what the WHO wants to do in every country. So while they say we won't have the power, on paper, technically they don't, but what they do have is an agreement from all nations to take advice from the WHO, which includes changing their laws according to what the WHO wants to do. And so they've already said that in future, in a February 2022 meeting, they said, in future, we want to forcefully vaccinate and punish anyone who doesn't comply. That is testified from Dr. Tess Laurie, who was in that meeting. And so countries have already started to implement the laws that will allow for what the WHO wants to do, right? This is the same with the UN and anything that they're calling for. They publish something, it's considered advice, and before you know it, it's law on a national level.
Well, so, here, Maria, you know, going back to UNDRIP, you know, I think really New Zealand and, you know, some of that stuff that was happening in Australia last year, we are the test case for basically handing over the rights and the sovereignty of this nation to the UN by using these so-called Indigenous rights. And the Indigenous populations and, you know, Black Lives Matter and Antifa, they all pile on to these philosophies and theories. They think it's great because, you know, they think we've got to get those colonizers and, you know, damn those white people.
Even though they're colonizers themselves.
Yeah, for all that stuff that they, you know, did 100, 200, 300 years ago. But they don't realize that the UN doesn't give a shit about them either. And they're going to be taken out eventually, but they might be given a power for a short period of time.
And I love how you're spelling all this out, because UNDRIP leads then into the Marxist ideology of making people believe they're victims,
yes,
and that these ones over here are the oppressors, so you must fight them. And while you're arguing about shit that doesn't matter, these wankers are taking everything.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, on that note, I want to say I've been... Since being, you know, full-time in this fight, I've been awake to the agenda for a very long time, but not actively working inside the fight, because like most people pre-COVID, we knew something was coming. We didn't know exactly when it would happen. And when it happened, we said, right, that's it. Gloves off. We're all in, you know? Watching the ways in which the freedom movement, if I can call it that, or the truth movement or whatever you call, tears each other apart.
Yeah,
and you know, wastes time on things that just don't matter. Has these public spats like we're on the Jerry Springer show or something. Makes accusations against people with no evidence. When we have this demonic body and group of bodies literally that want to kill us all, and we're worrying about whether someone wore the wrong color socks over there on a broadcast. I mean, it's crazy to me. It's crazy to me.
Or they held their hand in a certain way and all of a sudden they're demonic. You know? just like in the old days when we were young, we used to go, okay, yeah. You know, it was like good stuff.
Do you know how many times I've been on a broadcast and I've done that and I've gone, oh my gosh, you know, just in case someone snapshots it and I'm on a new website, because there's already a website dedicated to proving I'm a man based on my cheekbones. Do you guys know about that? Yeah.
Apparently Hannah's a man.
Oh, really?
But I have no problem accessing, you know, so there's nothing in the way.
Well, the fact that I had a baby last year just proves that.
A real woman.
Mind you, I guess men can have babies now.
Oh, apparently. But look, we've got a few minutes, so I really want to wrap up with the solutions to this. So Senator Alex Antic ran a petition some time ago, and I think he had tens of thousands of signatures, over 50,000 people, and he wanted the people inside government to disclose their ties to the World Economic Forum. 80% voted no. 80% voted against disclosing their ties to the World Economic Forum. That means 80% have something to hide, and that is very, very alarming. That is the majority of the government, as Klaus Schwab says. He's penetrated the cabinets. Yes, he has. And so the solution is to really understand what the world's controllers are aiming to achieve via the UN. Until people understand the UN's agenda, they can't defeat it. So the next step that we need is to exit the United Nations and make it punishable by law to ever have associations with the WHO, the UN, WEF, or any type of body that drives this global policy ever again. In fact, I don't think we should have global policy at all. If you want to have trade agreements, fine.
Yeah.
But this climate agenda or, you know, AI governance, global policy, nothing of that should exist. Every country should be responsible for its own laws and doing what it does, you know what I mean? And that should be by the demands of its own people, and also make it punishable by law for any politician to ever introduce any ideas that have been floated by these organizations. Again, I am literally calling for life in prison or whatever the harshest penalty of a country is to stop these ideas ever coming into our country again. For example, just one example, Russia has declared LGBT, you know, activist groups as terrorists and extremists.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That is appropriate. I'm not saying that gay people are terrorists. I'm saying these activist groups that are working with the UN, for example, the WHO, they just appointed these trans advisors. 11 of them are activists. One of them posts pictures of men having sex with dogs on his social or her social media. These people are not mentally stable. They shouldn't be permitted to have a seat on at any table, and it should be punishable by law to give them a platform again. So any UN-driven organization is anti-human, promotes death, promotes sexualizing children, therefore pedophilia, and they do read the 8 March principles, and subverts democracy through external means. That is exactly the definition of treason. It's the offense of attempting to overthrow the government of one's country or assisting its enemies in war, specifically the act of levying war against, for example, the United States, or adhering to or giving aid and comfort to its enemies by one who owes it allegiance. That is exactly what the UN and their policies are doing to every single nation. They are waging war on humanity. They call us objects. They want to inject us perpetually with drugs that kill us. They want to mutilate our children's genitals. They want to make having sex with our children legal. They want to kill off our next generation.
Yeah, it's a depopulation agenda, isn't it, Maria? And they want to push, you know, the remaining humans into these smart cities where you're all attached to the Internet of Things. You're basically, you know, in the AI world, like you talk about, and they're off in nature, if that's where they want to be, living up, you know, large. And basically, like what you said, stealing the energy off us through the technology that's going to be inhabiting our bodies.
They're overthrowing our country's government. That's what they're doing. It's treason. Yeah. And so any politician that cooperates with that is committing treason. We need to start recognizing that, realizing that the UN and these world bodies, I'm not saying UN are at the top of the chain, by the way, they're satanic overlords are, but they're the ones driving policy, and therefore that should be declared a terrorist organization. Anyone cooperating with them should be considered committing treason. And as soon as people realize that, then we can start to make change, because until then, we're going to be putting out this spot fire, that spot fire, that spot fire.
Exactly.
Everything that we've spoken about today, all the symptoms we've discussed, all trace back to the UN and their policies.
To the root cause. And every time someone goes to stand up who has the balls to do something about it, they come after them with everything. And then all of a sudden, you'll find someone else that's allowed to rise up as a champion, just like we did had here in politics, where one good party who was looking at exiting all those organizations and actually holding their ground were bastardized, while this one was propagated as being the savior of the class. And now what do they do? Just deliver straight back into the hands of the globalists.
So, okay, just really, quickly, Harvey MLA is a very good example of this. He, on his presidential campaign, he said he was going to exit the Paris Agreement. The Paris Agreement is this lofty climate change document that really doesn't give any clear indication as to how we're going to achieve net zero, but just says all countries must go to extreme measures to do it. Harvey MLA, on day one of his presidency, in fact, during his inauguration ceremony, sent a representative to COP28 to say Argentina's staying inside the Paris Agreement. He should. So what we need to do is, when these heroes come up and say, we're going to save everything, okay, we want you to put it in law that if you don't adhere to what you said you do, we can immediately, prosecute you.
Chop your head off.
Awesome. Thanks so much for joining us, Maria. Tell everyone where they can find you and what you've got coming up, and then we'll bring your fellow Australian on, Ozzy Cossack.
Yeah, sure.
He's another crowd favourite.
You can find me always on zmedia.com. We contribute to a lot of platforms, you know, InfoWars on Wednesday morning, 6 a.m. right now, Sydney time, 2 p.m. Central Tuesdays. And we also host Vigilant Fox's Media Blackout, gets millions of views on X. You can see that at ZEEE_media, and of course Telegram as well, Z Media, all one word. Thank you so much to all of the presenters today, to you guys for all of this effort and everything that you do. I think we will win. We just have to focus our energy on the right things. God bless.
100%. Excellent. Great having you on as always. Thanks, Maria Z.
Hi guys. To continue to bring you high-quality, evidence-based, factual content like today, Counterspin is reliant on your donations. So please visit their website. There's multiple ways of making donations. And remember, at Counterspin is where lies die, but truth prevails.
You can find Counterspin, New Zealand's media revolution, at counterspinmedia.com. And now, on the InfoWars Network, at band.video.